All right, and go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 14. We're going to be looking here at Judges chapter 14 and 16. I'm still doing characters. And today we're going to look at Samson. And go ahead and put the slide up there, if you don't mind. I've entitled it, Ruining Your Life. I know, very positive this morning. But ruining your life. And so the theme is how to ruin your life. And honestly, we want to look at this to avoid doing it. You know, most people I know want to be successful. Or at least, they want the results of success. You know, now some people don't want to work for it. Some people don't want to do what is necessary. But most people want the result of success. Most students want to have good grades. Most athletes, they want to win. Businesses want to make a profit. Doctors want to be able to cure diseases. Parents want their babies to walk and talk. Fishermen want to catch fish. Hunters want to kill their game. Employees want to advance. And so on. Most people have a desire to be successful. Yet we know that in about any given situation, there are people who fail. Students fail classes. Athletes lose games. Businesses go out of business. Doctors don't always have the answers. Fishermen don't always catch the fish. Hunters don't always get the trophy. Employees get fired. People in all walks of life fail. And some people don't stop there. Some people, to some degree, ruin their life. Now, we understand that people can fix things, but just for the sake of the topic here, that they do, to some degree, they ruin their life. This morning, I want to look at a man named Samson, who failed, but he also ruined his life. Here's the context. Samson was a miracle. If you look at chapter 13, verse 3, you'll see that it said, "And an angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." And now, by the way, you understand, even now, not being able to have a child can be difficult, but back then, there was no medical technology. I mean, if you were barren, you were not going to have a child. And yet God blessed him with a child, and it was a miracle. Samson was to be a Nazarite and a judge who was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. That's what it says in verse 5, chapter 13. "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his hand. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine." Samson failed to do this. Samson failed to keep his Nazarite vow, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And he may have kept the first two, but we know for sure that he broke his vow when he allowed Delilah to cut his hair. Samson failed to deliver the Jews. Think about this one room. He said this. Unlike most of the previous judges, Samson did not deliver his people from foreign domination. Samson, I'm just going to be honest, and I know it's not popular, in today's society, but Samson, in a lot of ways, was a failure. He's what we would call a loser. I mean, he was. He was a loser. I mean, God gave him a special anointing. He was a Nazarite. He was supposed to deliver the people. He gave him this ability, amazing strength. And if you look at his life, for the most part, he was a failure. But that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is that not only did he fail, but he also ruined his life. Think about this for a minute. Samson spent the last days of his life blind, pushing a milling stone as a slave, and becoming an object of people's humor. I'm not done. And to top it off, he died at his own hands. Samson accomplished more at his death than his entire life. You know the verse, chapter 16, verse 30. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistine." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were in. So the dead, when he slew at his death, were more than that he slew in his whole life. What a failure. What a shame. Samson had so much going for him. His name actually meant sunny. He was a sunshine. Yet Samson's life ended so bad, so sad, he ended up dying blind and alone in the middle of the enemy territory. No matter how many times I read this story, I want to shout at Samson to tell him, don't do it. Don't ruin your life. Oh, but he did. He ruined his life. Today, we can't help Samson, but you can help yourself. You can see the things that he did and make sure you don't do them as well. With this in mind, I want to look at how you can ruin your life. Number one, Samson was a proud man. And under that, I put this, it's really what I want you to get the most, and he rejected biblical counsel. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look here at the story. Let me see the first thing here. Now, the first thing, letter A here, is the request. And it's obviously kind of a story, so we're going to have to progress through that. The request, you can look here in chapter 14, in verse 1, and Samson went, and now he's grown now. And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath, of the Philistine, the daughter of the Philistine. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, "I have seen a woman in Timnath, of the daughter of the Philistine. Now get, therefore get her for me to wife." So here's the request. We don't know why Samson's going here, but he's going to a border town of Judah. It was actually a tribe of Dan, but we know that it's under the Philistine occupation, okay? And we'll get this in point two, but what you're going to see, I'll go ahead and tell you now, you're going to see Samson always spending a lot of time with the Philistines, okay? And that's going to come into play in my next point here. But he goes down there, he sees a woman, he likes her, he falls in love, and he wants to marry her. So he goes to his mom and dad, and he says, "Mom, Dad, get this woman for me to be my wife." Well, here's the next thing to response. Look at verse 3 here. Then his father and his mother said it to him, "Is there never a woman among..." I didn't study this out. I caught this morning. It almost sounds like he's always going after Philistine women, but I don't know that for sure. I'm not going to read too much in that. But is there never a woman among the daughter of the brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? So, no response he did. Can you not find a wife among your own people? And obviously, we understand the reason for this was God wanted the Jew to marry somebody who had the same belief as them, who served Jehovah God. And so, why was this their response? I'm going to tell you why. They knew that it would be spiritually harmful to Samson if he married a Philistine woman. Samson's parents were godly people. If you walk to in chapter 13, verse 8, we see when the angel of the Lord came to Manoah and told her that she's going to have a child, the angel came back, and this is what she said in verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord, let the man of God thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Brother Mike, she wanted to know how to raise this child for God. I wish that was every parent's desire. Sadly, no society now is not. They wanted to know. They were godly people. If you read on in the story, you'll see here, and they didn't want it. They wanted to feed the angel of the Lord. They wanted to honor him. Samson's parents knew. They were godly. They knew the laws of God. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand this. Not just the laws, but the principles. See, the Bible is a book of principles. And you say, what do you mean? Well, let me just say this. Okay, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And he said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where they're at now, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before the Hittite, and the Gergesite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivites, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Okay? So there's seven nations, and you can read more about this, that God said, do not marry, do not have anything to do with them. Why? Well, chapter 7, verse 2 and 4 of Deuteronomy. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Now, daughter, thou shalt not give to his son, for they will turn away the son from following me. So God said, I don't want you marrying certain people, because they will turn you away from God. Here's the thing. Samson's parents knew this. And here's the thing, though. I didn't realize this. You know who's not on that list, Brother Mike? The Philistines. The Philistines are not on that list. John MacArthur said this. The Philistines are not among the seven nations of Canaan when Israel was specifically forbidden to marry. Yet, Samson's parents opposed it. Why? The principle. See, that's why we don't have there's not a command to do this or not do this for everything in the world, is there? You know why? Because the Bible would be bigger than this room here. The Bible is a book of principles. And they knew that if he married a Philistine woman who didn't serve God, then he would turn his heart from God, just like Solomon did. They knew this principle. Okay, so let's move on. I'm not going to hammer that too much. But so, I don't know if I believe this but technically, it was permitted, but practically, it was the dumbest thing Samson could do. My preacher used to say, technically, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But practically, it's the dumbest thing in the world to say that. And practically speaking, that ain't gonna work. You hear people say, well, technically, that's not wrong. Technically, but practically, it's the craziest thing to do. It's not technically wrong for me to go out with someone that's not my wife, another lady. Is it wrong? Technically, no. But is it going to be wise? We'll talk about that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. No! Practically, it's the dumbest thing you can do. We'll get that in a minute. But it's true. So technically, Samson's parents knew this. And they gave Samson godly advice. They knew one of the fastest ways for Samson to destroy his life was to marry someone forbidden by God. So let us see here. Here's the reaction. In verse 3, you see it in chapter 14. And it says this. And the last point, and Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Samson rejected biblical counsel. And even, by the way, even when it all started with the Philistine, if you look here at the next verse, let me see where it's at. Verse 4, but his father and mother knew not that it was from of the Lord, that he sought an occasion to get the Philistines. Okay, so a lot of people say that God didn't want this, but he allowed Samson's mistake to use it to be a burden to the Philistine. Guess what? This is where it all started. This is when, if you read the rest of the story, this is when the Philistine got mad at Samson over this issue right here. This is where it all started. He rejected biblical counsel. Samson was wise in his own eyes. Proverbs 26:7 says this. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than him. Maybe Samson pointed out that she was not of the forbidden seven. Maybe he won his argument with his parents. Maybe he convinced himself that he was right technically. Oh, but this was just the beginning of his unwise choices. I just wonder if he would have heeded to their advice, how things might would have turned out. If Samson would have learned that he wasn't wise and he thought he was. Oh, if he would just humble himself. I wonder if he would have practiced Proverbs 3:7. It says this, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I wonder how Samson's life would have turned out different if he would have sought counsel and heeding to it. I don't have to wonder. It would have turned out different. You know why? I didn't write them down. But there's 4 or 5 verses. I quoted them last week. That the Bible says there's counsel or safety in the midst of counsel in Proverbs. I think there's one in Proverbs. One, let me just see here. If I can find it real quick for you. I should have wrote them down. I don't know if we'll find it or not. I'll give you one if I can find it real quick. Well, you know, chapter 1:5, the wise will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall obtain into wise counsel. Okay, that's not it, but if you read on, there are certain verses that talk about when you seek godly counsel, wise counsel, there is safety in that. Oh, but we live in a world, not just out in the world, we like to say it's the world, it's in the church, and we are wise in our own eyes. I know how Samson's life would have turned out. If he would have took wise counsel, his life would have turned out different. Yet, we're so wise in our own conceit. We are. I mean, and I understand that for most of y'all, I understand that the dynamic here. I'm young, many of you have lived many more years, and I know that many of you know more than me. But what if, just what if, I came to you seriously, and said, you know, I think you're making a mistake. I don't know if what you're doing is good. How would you take it? You know the problem? Is that we were all very resistant to advice. It can be on the littlest things. I mean, you know what? I see it on the people. This is what scares me. I know I'm guilty of it too. It's so easy seeing it in everyone else. And it's so hard to see in yourself. Here's the thing. We all, if not careful, or wise in our own deceit. Oh, we can win the argument. We can win on technicality. We just know. And then we don't know. Samson, oh, he knew. Samson said, oh, I got this. But he didn't have it. Most people have already made up their mind on every topic. We're more guilty of this than we realize. I've seen it, and I've been guilty of it as well. But you will ruin your life because the root is pride. You know what Proverbs 16:18 said? Pride goes for destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Samson ruined his life because he was a proud man, and he rejected biblical counsel. Samson ruined his life first because he rejected biblical counsel, but secondly, Samson ruined his life because he failed to use wisdom. letter A here is Samson's calling. Samson wanted to be a Nazarite. He had three prohibitions. He would not drink wine, strong drink, or anything from the vineyard, okay? So he couldn't eat grapes. Come think about it, he can eat jelly, and I love jelly. He can eat jelly. That's sad there. And he was not to cut his hair, number two. And number three, he was not to touch a dead body, okay? That's just a few things about Samson, okay? Alright, so that's his calling, letter B here, in Samson's choices, okay? Now, I'm going to say this now, I'm going to give a disclaimer. And I started studying the life of Samson a little bit, you know, just in a week. You know, I saw a lot of things that were borderline sin, but we don't really know, Brother Howard. We don't really know. What I kind of come to the conclusion to was, I don't necessarily know if what he did is wrong. We'll see here in just a minute. But here's the thing. It wasn't wise. We'll see here that Samson was a very foolish man. So what do you mean? Well, let me tell you. Number one, he went to a vineyard. Look at chapter 14 and verse 5. And already being unwise by not linking to his parents, by wanting to marry a woman that's going to turn his heart from God. But now it's in verse 5, and then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came into a vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, okay? Now, most people speculate that at some point, Samson and his parents split ways, okay? And that Samson went alone through the vineyard, okay? So, let me just read, as you study it, what you'll see. Warren did a violation of his Nazarite covenant. I don't know. Did what Warren Winfrey said. A vineyard was a dangerous place for a man who was not supposed to have anything to do with grapes. I would agree with that, Brother Don. I would agree with that. I'm going to read that again. A vineyard was a dangerous place for a man who was not supposed to have anything to do with grapes. I mean, let me read number 6 to you and 3. The Nazarite vow. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquid liquor of grapes, neither eat moist grapes or dried grapes, meaning can't eat raisins. And all the days of separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernel even into the husk. Now, I'm pretty serious about this. Eating a pretty serious thing. Okay, I don't know. I'll tell you right now, I can't tell you if it was wrong for him to go to a vineyard. There are some preachers that would build a sermon on that and run with it all day. I'm not saying they're wrong. But I know one thing. It wasn't wise. It wasn't wise. It wasn't wise. See, when you get so caught up, And the first thing I got here in my notes, the first thing is, it should be, is it right or wrong? Yeah, that should be the first thing we ask about anything. Is it right or wrong? We should. Well, you should go further than that. We should ask, as a Christian, we should ask not whether it's just right or wrong, but is it wise? And then number two, he touched a dead animal. Numbers chapter 5 says, and all the day he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall not come at no dead body. Look at chapter 14, Judges. And as for time, he returned to take her, and he turned. By the way, it's probably been a year. Okay, you know, he got engaged to this woman. He left, and the father gave her to the best man, and it's been a year probably. I mean, honeybees have made a nest inside of a dead lion body, okay? And he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hand and went on eating. And he came to his father and his mother, and gave them, and didn't eat, and told them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, once again, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if this was a violation or not. Warren Wimper said this, that he believed this is a violation of his vow. John MacArthur said that others believe that it would have been violated if it was a dead person. Okay? Alright, so you can take your pick. I don't know. But here's the thing. I would say this. It wasn't wise. It wasn't wise. I mean, he didn't tell his parents. I don't know why. But let's move on a little further. I wrote this down. He associated with the wrong people. As you read the story of Samson, he was always, I mean always, surrounded with the Philistines. Was that wise? No. I mean, I'll get to my third point here in a minute. But I mean, he met a harlot in Gaza. He met Delilah, who these are not the people he needs to be hanging out with. But why did he meet them to begin with? Because he's with them. That's not wise. He was controlled by anger. Verse 19 of chapter 14. And I'm going to read the part here. It says, and his anger was kindled. He was controlled by anger. Many times, he did things out of anger. Being controlled by anger is not a sign of wisdom. Proverbs 14:17 says this. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Samson was a foolish man. He was a foolish man. He failed to use wisdom. Whether we can pinpoint each action of Samson or not, and sin really doesn't matter. What we see here is a man who is foolish in the way he lived. He didn't live a life of wisdom and discretion. By the way, I didn't put that in there. I almost did. You can put a little slant there. Backslash, I guess what it's called. And put discretion. Wisdom and discretion is something that we need in our lives to not ruin our lives. Discretion. He didn't do that. Now, I'm going to read a few verses. But I want you to flip over here to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. I'm going to read it, put it lengthy, I know, and I'm just trucking through, and this is important. So wisdom is being personified, okay? And it says wisdom calls out. Wisdom being personified. Solomon uses wisdom he from a perspective of a lady, okay? So, I want to read a few verses. In verse 24. Because I am called and you refused. Alright, so there it is. A foolish man. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have sat at naught at my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Uh-oh, there's destruction. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction. Uh-oh, there it is. There's the ruin of your life. And your destruction coming as a whirlwind when the stress and the anguish come upon you. You know why some of you may be so distressed right now? Because you're not living wise. I mean, not just spiritually, but in so many areas of life. Relationally, financially, maybe you're not living wise. Maybe why you have the problems you have. Just think about it. And then shall they call upon me. Oh, I see this all the time. When I will not answer, you see this a lot of times, I'm going to be honest, at my old church, you see this with parents. They don't care when they're young, but when they get to be teenagers, when they get to be grown, and we're not living for God, then they start crying to the pastor or the youth pastor, what's wrong? What's wrong? You win the discretion in the first 16 years of their life. Then they call upon me, and I will not answer. They will seek me only, but they will not find me, for they have hanging knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the sinful shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Not living wise with discretion will ruin you. Like I said a minute ago, I'm not going to give a big list of things, but there's things that are not wrong. You know, not wise. Like I said, I'm way ahead of myself. But like that, it's not wrong for me. I mean, biblically speaking, no, there's nothing. I cannot find anything where it says that I can't go out to eat with another lady. Was that going to be wise? No. I know my best friend's wife before they dated. I know her pretty well. Is there anything wrong in me texting her? Technically? No. But is it wise? No. See what I mean? See what I'm saying? See, yeah, we should, and I say this all the time, we should live on the Word of God. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. Enough sin. But there are things that are not right and wrong that are just plain not wise. That's not wise. I mean, I can go on and on, but that's not the point. You can apply that. Discretion, wisdom, and discretion. See, Samson didn't do that. One of it was wrong to eat honey from a dead animal. One of it was wrong to go to a vineyard. Didn't matter. What mattered, I know one thing, it wasn't wise. And let me read to you what happens to wise people. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. But whosoever hearkeneth to me, that's wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I'm going to say something. If your life is in a mess, it could be because you didn't live wise. I mean, I'm not trying to be so rude, but everybody wants to blame everyone else. They want to do this or that. When you have the turmoil in your life, could just simply be because you're reaping the result of not living or not using wisdom in your life. And that applies to anything. Relation, marriage, finances, your job, everything spiritually, raising kids. Maybe the problem is you failed in your wisdom. And here's the thing. Failing in your wisdom will ruin your life. The Bible says it. Yes. We should always care about what's right and wrong. But as Christians, we need to care about what we're doing is wise. That's the thing. Well, I don't know if I should go there, Sonny. We're talking about alcohol. Now, everybody wants to talk about it's not wrong. I'm just gonna get on my soapbox. It's not wrong to drink. Okay, let's pretend it's not a sin. Let's pretend it's not a sin. Let's say it's not. Okay, I'm not saying that. That's not my stance. Is it wise? Is it wise? There's not a one of you in here that can't say it's wise. It kills people. I mean, my mom worked for the courthouse. She sees all the people coming in now. You know how many crimes are connected to alcohol? You know how many sexual abuse cases are connected to alcohol? So let's forget for a second that it's right or wrong. Is it wise? Is it wise? Oh, it's not popular, probably not even in this room. Is it wise? Oh, and again, what about the principle of, is it a stumbling block? Yo, and maybe you can handle your liquor. I don't know what that means, really. But what about an example set for others? By the way, you say, well, it's not wrong as long as you don't get drunk. There's a billboard that says, buzz driving is drunk driving. So that's not much. That's not much. Is it, Brother Mike? I mean, that means if I drink a beer, I mean, I don't drink, so if I drink two beers, I'm probably drunk. Well, that one line means that long as I can stand on my 2 feet, I'm not drunk. The world defines drunkenness and buzzed. That's all I'm going to say. And here's the thing. Once again, I'm getting too far. But here's my question. I'm going to ask you one question. Is it wise? Is it wise? I'm going to tell you what I do, Brother Mike. They say, I'm just going to drink one alcoholic beverage. I don't know the point in doing that. You know what I'm going to do? Ain't gonna be a temptation for me on Friday night when I've had a tough day. Not get drunk. Now, is that wise, Brother Mike? No. No. But I was just flee temptation. I guess I can only speak for myself. I think it's still wrong. I think I can build a case for that. But let's just forget that. Here's my question. Is it wise? I just get on and on and on. It's not wise. Oh, I think Proverbs says that. Proverbs even says, those who are deceived by it are not wise. Once again, when you say, technically, Pastor Will, it's okay. That's what Samson said. Technically, it's okay for me to go to a vineyard. It's technically okay for me to marry for listening. They're not under 7. It's not technically wrong. Let's just pretend that alcohol is not technically wrong. I'm not saying I think that. Is it wise? No. And that what ruined Samson, living his life foolishly and failing to use wisdom. Failing to use wisdom. And that's not problem. That's the thing. That's why I get so irritated. Forget about it's right or wrong about alcohol. Is it wise? Just start doing stats. Anyway, we should always go to the Bible, non-bias. But I don't get why Christians won't use the Bible to defend something so horrible as alcohol. It's detrimental to society. It is. I mean, secular people would say that. And so if we are biased, we should be going to the Bible trying to find a way to say it's wrong. Now, we should be unbiased and let the Bible speak for itself. I don't understand that. That's a sermon within the sermon. I don't understand that. Because my mother grew up in an alcoholic home. She experienced the abuse. She saw that it wasn't wise. She saw my uncle drink himself to death at 8 years old because he couldn't get off of it. It's not wise. It's not wise. It's just not wise. Anyway, that was a sermon in a sermon. But it goes back to this. You want to ruin your life? Fail to use wisdom. Samson ruined his life because, number one, he rejected biblical counsel by failing to use wisdom. And number two, by failing to use number three, he ruined his life by not saying no to temptation. He was a sinful man. He was a sinful man. Now, we all sin. But he practiced sin. He chose sin. He was a sinful man. He did not say no to temptation. Which, by the way, when you reject godly advice, you say, no, Mom, I know it all. No, Pastor, I know it all. No, God, I know what to do. I know. No, you don't know. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to be unwise. And when you're unwise, it's going to lead to sin. Just like that. Just like if one of my mentors came and said, Pastor Will, you don't need to counsel women alone. And I said, oh, no, I got this. It's not wrong, isn't it? It's not wrong. And I reject it. Then I do something unwise, like have counsel women alone. You know what's going to happen eventually? It happens all the time. Guess what? Then I'm going to end up being sinful and having an affair. It happens all the time. And all started because I didn't listen to counsel, didn't listen to what God told me. I was unwise, and it led to sin. That's every time it happened. Same thing gonna happen with alcohol, by the way. You go ahead and fill your refrigerator up with alcohol, and it's gonna happen. Oh, you may not get drunk one night, but you will. I'm just gonna say it. By the way, most Christians say that it's wrong, not wrong to drink, but it's wrong to get drunk. And I understand what they're saying. You know, where's that line at? But anyway. But you're going to eventually, trust me. I would. Just like having a box of Little Debbie's. If I have a box of Little Debbie's, I'm going to eat them all through the go. That's how I do. I mean, that's how it would be. I mean, you can say no, that's how I would be. I cannot like only speak for myself. And then it turns to sin. When you're unwise, it's going to lead to sin. And it did for Samson. He was a sinful man. Anyway, the decision to sin. So, and by the way, I don't really know if all the things that Samson has done up to this point are technically sinful, right? You know, he's flirting with it. Maybe God allowed him to marry, or would allow him to marry a Philistine woman, I don't know. But by him, we know he sinned. And then, verse 1 of chapter 6, he then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. And that means he had sex with her. Verse 4, and he went past afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sirach, whose name was Delilah. Now, the Bible does not specifically say that he slept with Delilah, but I believe it can be implied due to context and Samson's character. Okay? I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be rude, I don't want to be inappropriate, but he didn't go over there to play Monopoly. He didn't tell her his secret. Because he was playing Monopoly. She had a spell on him. But what sin done? Samson was tempted. Samson gave in to that temptation. Samson took the philosophy of Oscar Wilder. He said the best way to fight temptation is to give in to it. I mean, that's wrong, by the way. That's what he said. It's so sad. But this is the approach and attitude of many people, including Christians. The best way to fight temptation is to give in to it. Especially in the area of sexual temptation. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not talking about homosexuality at all. I'm talking about fornication. It's running rampant in our churches today. But Samson made a decision. He made a decision to sin. And it cost him. No, it destroyed him. We see the decision, but let it be, we see the destruction of sin. And I'm not going to read a whole story. But Samson destroyed him. It destroyed his freedom. He's no longer free. It destroyed his sight. He can no longer see. It destroyed his life. I want you to know something. Sin will destroy you. James 1, chapter 14 and 15 hasn't changed. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And in time, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You cannot play with sin and it not cost you. You cannot play with sexual sin and it not cost you. I'm going to read a few Proverbs after chapter 6 and 7. Now remember, when I read these verses, this is Solomon writing to his son. So this can go the other way as well, okay? Not all women are Jezebels, okay? But I'm writing in the perspective of a man to another man. And he says, in chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, and these verses need to be taught to our teenagers. I remember my dad reading this verse to me when I was a teenager. It was kind of awkward. But you know, me and my best friend laughed still. My dad, we'd go fishing with him, and he would talk to us about sexual temptation. He would talk to us about not going down that path. We can kind of care, teenagers, 13, 14. But looking back now, I appreciate it. And looking back now, I know how hard it was. Did he do the greatest job? No. He didn't read no book. He didn't have no, but he used the Bible. And I'll never forget when he read this verse, and it's so true. And he said, lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coal and his feet not be burned? The answer is no. No. And in the context right now, and I'm gonna apply it to all sin, but in the context and in our society today, and you need to know that sexual sin will cost you. I don't care what degree it is, I don't care if it's pornography, I don't care if it's an affair, I don't care what it is, it will cost you. And by the way, it goes vice versa. Proverbs 6:32 says, but whoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. Chapter 7:21-27. With much fair speech she calls him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forces him. He goes after her straightway and the ox goes to the slaughter. Can you not see Samson right now in your mind? Or a fool to the correction of the star, till a dart strikes through his liver, and a bird hangs into the snare, and he knows not that it for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the word of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her way. Go not astray to her path, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Here's the thing, I want you to understand. Sexual sin destroying. Saying yes to temptation will destroy you. Do you, and here's the thing, all sin. I want you to understand that. All sin. It doesn't matter. But as I wrote this down, due to the context and our society, I want you to understand that sexual sin will destroy you. And that's something that because so many people are involved in that, it's okay now. I mean, yeah, you'll still hear some amens about homosexuality, but if you preach on fornication, no one amen me when you say, don't fornicate. We don't say anything. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you something that someone told me, and it's true. Most people change when their kids change. What he's saying is, if someone's kid is involved in adultery, then all of a sudden it's not wrong. And there's a lot of truth to that. I'm going to tell you something. It is wrong. Yeah, can you be forgiven? Of course. Can you be restored? Yeah. But it is wrong, and it will destroy you. Another verse in the Bible talking about in Proverbs is, he wastes his living basically partying. There's verses talk about that. How unwise it is. And again, let me not say this much again. You want any show today just about, and it's going to show that the affair is what's fun. That is where life's at. It portrays sex outside of marriage is what's best for you. It promotes it. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. Sexual sin will destroy you. It'll destroy your mind, it'll destroy your family, it'll destroy everything. And I'm not talking about just affairs and things. Pornography. I've done a little reading on it, but when you watch pornography, it overloads the brain with all the chemicals in your brain, and it makes you, like a high, like a drug. And it gets to where that you can't enjoy normal things because you've overloaded your brain so much. That's why pornography always gets worse. That's why you have to keep looking at something even more and more extreme. Because pornography actually ruins your mind. And that's why later you can't enjoy just living life to some degree. Because it ruins your mind. Please, I'm not done a lot of reading on it, but I've done a little bit and it affects you. Two, sexual sin will destroy you. And by the way, I want you to understand this. I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. Sex is a gift from God that takes place, it's to take place between one man and one woman in the bond of marriage. And that needs to be taught. And it needs to be taught to your kin. And it needs to be taught that that's the greatest way to experience it. Why could the world over here say, oh, it's great. Do it outside of marriage. And you got all those who went, let's not talk about that. But I know we need to be appropriate. But it needs to be talked about. Do you realize that I'm not a parent, but my cousins are, and they're one of them the youth pastor. And he actually talks to kids. You should be talking to your kids about this type of stuff before they hit adolescence. You know why the book says that? Because before adolescence, it's just facts. Anyway, that's just a book, a godly man wrote it, and you can put more information on that in Ken. That needs to be talked about from the right perspective. Anyway. We don't need to shy away from it. We need to teach it in the right biblical context. Samson destroyed his life due to sin. You want to ruin your life? Say yes to temptation. Say yes to sin. That's what Samson did. In conclusion, you want to know how to ruin your life? Be a proud man. Be narrow-minded. Refuse to listen to biblical counsel. Refuse to take some of the things I've said. Hey, you ain't going to take my word for it, but don't just shut it down. Get the book, read it. You can make your own decision. Here's the problem with somebody, they won't even investigate. They've already made their mind, they're not going any further. Don't be that way. If you want to ruin your life, be a proud man. Number two, be a foolish man. Don't use wisdom and discretion. Be one of them people, be one of them Christians that say, well, technically, Pastor, I can do this. Well, you're on your road to destroying your life. And number three, be a sinful man. Don't say no to temptation. And we stand on our feet just for a moment, and with hands bowed and eyes closed, as the piano players come up, I don't know what part you need it. I know for me, I need it all. I need all of it. I don't know about you, but I can be a proud man. I know it scares me to think about how many times people try to tell me something, yet I'm so And they don't even go any further. How sad that is. Hey, I can be a foolish man. Hey, well, see, you need to preach this, then you need to practice it. Oh, there's many times when I'm not using some discretion, and I'm doing the same thing. Well, technically, it's not wrong, well, but isn't it wise? Hey, maybe you're being sinful. All sin turns out bad. If you're like me, I sin more than I need to. And if they begin to play, if God has spoken to you, and you want to come down here, I want to invite you to do that.